Drive Time on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Zurich. For pensions, protection, savings and investments. At Zurich, we deal in peace of mind.
Now, as you heard a short time ago, the main opposition parties tabled an unprecedented motion of no confidence in Kyon Corlea, Verona Murphy. The motion comes after government proposals for rule changes on speaking rights sparked a bitter row and chaotic scenes in the Dáil last week. Meanwhile, ahead of US President Donald Trump's so-called Liberation Day tomorrow and his expected introduction of tariffs on exports from Europe, Taoiseach Simon Harris has warned that pharmaceutical exports from Ireland could be cut by half. For more on both issues, I'm joined now by Health Minister Jennifer Carroll McNeill. Jennifer, Minister, you're very welcome to the programme.
Thank you.
Now, the confidence motion, first of all, which is ongoing, I see Ivana Bacic on her feet at the moment. The government quite clearly has the numbers here and they'll support Verona Murphy. But do you accept that she'll be damaged as Kyon Corlea after this?
I think it's, as you've said, unprecedented to put a motion down of this kind in the Kyon Corlea, who, let's remember, is a constitutional office holder who forms part of the presidential commission when the president can't act. It's an extremely senior office. She was elected by Dáil Éireann and she's elected to make sure that our parliamentary democracy functions properly. I think more than anything, I'm worried now, having heard some of the language that I heard used, in particular by the leader of Sinn Féin, about her, stepped out of the Dáil to come to speak to you. It's really worrying for the future. It's really worrying, honestly, for democracy and for
that,
Democrats.
She's a constitutional office holder. She's meant to be independent.
She is
opposition believes that she acted in a biased fashion. Has she been damaged by all this?
I think these are extraordinary charges to make. She is operating both with alongside the Clerk of the Dáil. She's operating with the Office of the Parliamentary Legal Advisor. She goes through processes. She takes legal advice. I recall being on RTE where the opposition hadn't even allowed her to complete a legal process where she had invited submissions and the timeline for the submissions hadn't even expired and they were calling for her to act in a particular way.
So you don't think she's damaged?
So
you don't think she's damaged?
I think that this process is not what Irish democracy has ever been about and shouldn't be about now. And I think that we need to be really careful about protecting our own democratic institutions at a time globally when things have been going very much the other direction. Now is the time to protect it even more.
Okay.
At the end of the day, we operate in a democracy.
If I may, the reason I'm pursuing this line of questioning is if you don't think she's damaged, then you don't think there's a need for her to build bridges, as Labour has been suggesting. You don't think there's a need for her to restore trust. Her trust in the opposition, because that's what they're calling for now, it seems.
I think there's always space for that in any sort of dispute, in any sort of conflict. There's always space to sit down and repair relationships and to build for the future. But what I'm saying is at a different level, Cormac. What I'm saying is some of the language that I've heard from the leader of Sinn Féin goes way beyond, and she has sort of said it doesn't matter what the outcome of this democratic vote is.
I know that, and I put those questions to Louise O'Reilly earlier on. How should she restore trust then?
Well, the first thing is that we have a democracy where the first rule of democracy is being able to count. Voters cast ballots and we count votes in the Dáil, and that's the main thing. So if she was elected by the Dáil and retains the confidence of the Dáil, then everybody should respect that.
She retains the confidence of the government side, though.
But Cormac, there again, like there's 170 people in the Dáil. If she retains the majority of those, then she retains the confidence of the Dáil.
But my question Minister, is about restoring confidence with the opposition, who clearly will not vote confidence in her today. My question is this: should she build bridges and how should she do it?
I think there's always scope for building bridges. There's always scope for repairing relationships.
How?
Always. Well, the first thing is I think it's really important that we set that the opposition reflect on the outcome of the vote and B, the processes that she goes through, and that they signal their own respect for those processes, including the Clerk of the Dáil, including the Parliamentary Legal Advisor, and that they acknowledge that those are institutions that have stood a lot longer than Sinn Féin's large presence in the Dáil also, Cormac, it's not for me. This is important. The Kyon Corlea is an office holder more senior to me. She's a constitutional office holder, and it isn't for me on the radio to tell her how to go about her job. My job is to express my confidence or otherwise in her as a member of Dáil Éireann.
I'm just putting to you the context here that the opposition don't have confidence in such a senior constitutional office holder, and the context is important, isn't it? Because she was a TD from the Regional Independent Group. She was appointed by your Taoiseach and your Taoiseach as Kyon Corlea.
She was elected.
With
a
Dáil, yeah, she was nominated, and then there was
elected.
A Dáil vote.
elected.
Yes, and a Dáil vote. So she's appointed Ciarán Cóirlea from the Regional Independent Group, and then the opposition says that she helped the government railroad a deal to give the Regional Independent Group new speaking rights. So they're claiming she's biased, and that's the problem, isn't it?
But that's what's being debated in the Dáil at the moment. And what I'm saying is, if I was in opposition, I would be very careful about my language about a constitutional office holder. I would be very careful about protecting the institutions of the state that go beyond a single Dáil debate, that go beyond social media clips, that speak to the enduring nature of our democratic processes. Mm-hmm. She was elected by Dáil, the members of Dáil Éireann. There will be a vote tonight on confidence in her, which, you know, I think is regrettable in the first instance. But it's up to her then to determine how she builds relationships for the future. That's a matter for her, and it's not for me to tell her how to do her job.
The impact of all of this is that in the minds of many in the public, that Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil have really gone out on a limb here for Michael Lowry. And they see Fine Gael, for example, and Fianna Fáil as being tied to Michael Lowry, though. Is that a comfortable position for you?
I mean, I think, you know, where this is about for me is speaking time for backbenchers. And if I can give you an example from Dunleary, in the last Dáil where Cormac Devlin and myself were government backbenchers, I got very little time despite seeking time every week on a question on promise legislation. So did Cormac Devlin, working hard to try to have our constituents' voices and issues heard. On the other hand, Richard Boyd Barrett, because he's in a technical group, had the opportunity to raise things multiple times a day. The imbalance was quite significant, mm-hmm. and totally
Before I move on to tariffs, are you saying there's no angst or discomfiture in Fine Gael at defending Michael Lowry's speaking rights?
It's not about Michael Lowry's speaking rights. It's about Nisho Murray's speaking rights. It's about James Gagan's speaking rights. It's about Barry Ward's speaking rights. It's about having the opportunity to have a more balanced Dáil than we have had since 2016 and the 2016 Dáil and 2020. When the minority government was formed in 2016, there was a business committee, there was a rebalancing of the Dáil. But the reality is, what that has meant is that government backbenchers who have the same mandate as anybody else, whose constituents rely on them in the same way as opposition do, have not had the opportunity. And that's what's really important to me. Okay. And I think it's important that people know that their government backbenchers are just not getting the same opportunity to raise issues on their behalf as opposition. And that has to be balanced out.
And that confidence motion debate is ongoing now. Ciarán Ahern of Labour is on his feet at the moment. Can I talk to you about US tariffs? Because the Taoiseach, your party leader, Simon Harris, told the Cabinet today that Irish pharmaceutical exports are projected to halve over the next 5 years. How do you mitigate against that?
Well, the first thing that we need to do is see what happens tomorrow. And this is a much more important issue for the country than anything else. We need to see what happens tomorrow. We have to approach it with a certain degree of calm. Simon Harris is going to meet his EU trade counterparts next week to discuss what has been in this package that we think is coming, that we're fairly certain is coming, and how best to respond to it. But there is a reality to the fact that we've built up our economy on being a globally trading nation, that we've built up our workforce to be one of the most educated in the world, and because of that we have all of this investment, in particular pharmaceutical companies and med tech companies right around the country, from Westport to Longford to Tipperary, all around the country, really high value jobs that support many of those towns, and we have to do everything we can to protect that. We don't want to be having this conversation, we don't want these tariffs, we don't want to have to have reciprocal arrangements, but we do need to realise that we approach it from three positions of strength. One, we're a member of the European Union rather than being on our own. Two, we have 2.8 million people at work, which we've never had before. And though we may face job losses, we have never, ever had that many people at work before to give us a cushion. And three, contrary to the views of Sinn Féin and others, we did manage to build up a sovereign wealth fund and a reserve fund that might give us some comfort in the event of a downturn. Mm. Fine Gael has been responsible for bringing the country back from deficit
job losses in the pharmaceutical industry inevitable, though, as a result of these tariffs?
I would never, ever, ever say something like that. First of all, we haven't gotten the information. Neither you nor I know what he's likely to bring, so we couldn't possibly say that. And number two, we get the information and then we reflect on it.
The amount of US multinationals in the pharmaceutical sector located here, and he mentioned the sector specifically, it's quite likely, isn't it?
There is a risk, and it's been well acknowledged, but I'm not going to get ahead of what President Trump does tomorrow. I'll get the information, number one, and then we'll reflect on it and see what the impact is going to be.
But your colleagues in Fine Gael, the Minister for Finance, are projecting or predicting, it seems, the Minister for Finance predicting a possibility of 80,000 job losses losses as a result of all of this. Is that the absolute worst case scenario? I mean, was he talking about direct job losses there? What about knock-on consequences? Like, what about secondary suppliers who could also lose their jobs, for example?
Well, there's 45,000 people working in pharmaceutical companies in Ireland, so I imagine he was talking about second-order job losses there as well. It's important to remember that we export components to the United States, as opposed to 80% of our exports are pharmaceutical components, and the products are finished there. So we're hope, you know, there may be scope to try to differentiate in some way there. But the reality is, as Pascal Donoghue set out last week, as Simon Harris set out this week, it is very, very serious what's happening, and it impacts our economic model. But we are not alone in this in Europe. It also impacts Denmark, Italy, other countries that also make pharmaceutical products. Ireland is not the only country in the European Union, and it's important that we lean into the fact that we are members of the European Union, that we're prominent members of the European Union, committed members of the European Union, and that we do, that we approach this together with other European countries.
I know, but yet there are bilateral talks with the US ongoing between Ireland and the US. I mean, what's being sought there?
Well, I mean, again, trade is an EU competence, and we're strongest within the EU, within the EU framework. But you will be aware that many government ministers, including myself, spent a significant amount of time in the United States around St. Patrick's Day, where we made the case very strongly and very clearly that Ireland was the sixth largest investor in the United States, that Irish-owned companies employ 200,000 people across 50 states, that we are a very significant economic player, not just from the United States, but to and in the United States.
So what's being sought in the bilaterals? Clearly.
Well, I mean, what we have to, as I said, we have to respond as a European Union. But what's being made clear on from our part is that we are open to the United States, that we want to continue to work very clearly with the United States, that we're very significant investors, and that, you know, we will wait and see what happens.
So if I was you, if I was in the bilaterals, I'd be seeking an exemption. Are you?
An exemption from European
from the
Union
tariffs, yeah.
From European Union tariffs, where
from US tariffs, yeah.
As a member of the European Union, first and foremost, we're members of the European Union. We have come through a lot in Europe. We have come through Brexit with the European Union. We have solidarity with our European Union counterparts, and we approach, as if we want to be members of the European Union, which we do, and we derive exceptional benefits from being members of the European Union. Then we act together, always.
So that's not being sought.
Cormac, I can't put it any more clearly than we are members of the European Union, and Ireland in the last 50 years have gone from being absolutely on the outskirts in terms of economic development to being one of the leading countries in Europe in terms of our economic development because of our membership of the European Union and the access to the trading relationships that it gives us and the market right across the European Union. So we have absolutely no plans to step away from the European Union. That would be madness entirely.
Okay. Thank you very much indeed for your time. I really appreciate it because I know that debate is ongoing in the Dáil, so thanks for stepping out. Health Minister Jennifer Carroll McNeill of Fine Gael, thank you.